Hi, I'm Catherine Galligan, and I believe that love is not just the most important thing in the world, it's the most important force in the entire universe. Welcome to Love to You All, a podcast created to inspire hope in a world longing for change. Choosing love over fear, over division, over indifference takes incredible courage, but I believe that when we do, we awaken the wisdom and power needed to create a world where love leads. Because when love is the guiding force, peace becomes possible. In each episode, we'll explore what it means to be the love for ourselves, our communities, and for this beautiful planet we live on. I'll be joined by guests who are visionaries, healers, artists, and everyday people, all sharing how they live love in action. I believe it's my soul's mission to remind us all of what's possible. That world peace is not a pipe dream. It's a choice, and it starts within. So thank you for being here. Let's become the most loving frequency possible together, because we've got a world to change. Hello, and welcome back to Love to You All. I'm Catherine Galligan, your host, and I'm really pleased to be able to share a conversation that I had with someone I'm really honored to call a friend. She is a licensed professional counselor who's really stepped outside of the conventional and maybe more traditional definitions of that very well-earned title that she carries, and to kind of expand her practice to, I would say, maybe meet modern needs. And this beautiful woman, her name is Lynn McCracken, and I actually know her. I met her years ago in my neighborhood because we lived in the same neighborhood and we both have kids the same age. And she and I both happened to be at this, some sort of like a mom social, you know? And you know how when you meet somebody and you just right away, you know that you're going to like that person? Well, Lynn was definitely that for me. But it just really worked out as such that we didn't really cross paths a whole lot, you know, the next decade that we were still living in the same neighborhood together. But I always kind of kept tabs and had a relatively good idea of what was going on for her. Well, I was lucky enough that she came to stay with me at my beach house when I was still doing these personal one-on-one rejuvenation retreats. And I got the privilege of spending almost a whole week with Lynn, and I got to know her well and really hear her story. And it's really quite something. And so this woman is extremely, you know, evolved and impressive. And there's so many things that we could talk about. But the particular conversation that we had, you know, had to do with a courageous choice that she made to help her daughter break free from a self-destructive path. And the choice that she made, it took them both pretty far from the comfort and safety of home. They did plant medicine together as like kind of like a ceremony in New Mexico. And Lynn, you know, she faced some risk, you know, potential damage to her reputation in our conservative community. And it also was a risk to what could happen to her counseling career. But what she did to me is just such a beautiful thing. And it's what mothers do. They take leaps of faith and they do every single thing that they can to save their children. And it's a really inspiring story, and it changed the whole scope of Lynn's practice. And so it just makes me emotional even to talk about it. So I can't wait for you to listen to this. And I think it might really, you know, beg you to consider, you know, doing anything that it takes to not only maybe save somebody in your life, but, you know, yourself, and that there are options and they can be effective. So without further ado, here is this extremely special and vulnerable conversation that I had with a dear friend. Hi, Lynn. Welcome to my show. Love to you all.
Hi. I'm so excited to be in your show.
Oh, you know, I've been waiting for this one for a while.
I know.
Trying to make this happen. Yes, no, thank you so much for being here. We've got a lot to cover.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, so let's just start with you, you know, introducing yourself.
Well, I'm Lynn McCracken, and mm-hmm. I am a therapist licensed professional counselor, licensed marriage and family therapist. Just recently got certified in psychedelic assisted psychotherapy. I do ketamine assisted therapy and have been doing that for a couple of years. And I am in the middle of trying to kind of expand into doing more groups and really helping people to connect on a community level. I've been doing ketamine groups with other therapists and training other therapists and just really trying to expand the consciousness, especially here in North Texas, where things can be, you know, people are a little bit more conservative and cautious than they are in California, where I grew up.
And I forget that about you, that you grew up there. Yeah, I guess we Texans we're late to the party sometimes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. A little bit. people here are really kind, and I'm actually really seeing that they're a lot more open-minded than I had originally thought, because I was a little bit afraid to even say that I was doing ketamine therapy, ketamine assisted therapy, or that I was in a psychedelic assisted therapy program. So a lot of my referrals come from churches. And so there was, and also I have a lot of colleagues from the addiction world that, you know, some of them are kind of like, "What? You're doing what?" It turns out it actually helps with addiction, but there's just not a lot of knowledge out there. And so I'm really trying to work on helping shift the paradigm of mental health and trying to be a force of change and education and advocacy for this very mind-blowing cutting-edge therapy.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing it. And I love it. So I should tell the audience that we've known each other for a while, and mostly because we have children. I know, it's kind of funny. Our kids are the same ages, you know, more or less, and we were living in the same neighborhood. And so there was an overlap in our world, right? And that's how I first came to know you. And I learned, like, the very first day I met you, that you were a therapist. And so back then, in those days, it was more, what you were doing was more like traditional talk therapy.
Right.
But that aside, you know, you made this impression on me. And so fast forward to last year, and I'm like, I really want this woman to come down to my beach house and experience this retreat. And also selfishly, I really want to get to know her, you know? Oh, and we had the best
time. We did. That week. So great.
But you had, you know, you informed me that you had made this massive shift and that you were, like you said, wanted to shift the paradigm. And so can you just start with the why part? Like, why?
Yeah.
Why did you even, like, decide that that was important?
Yes. That's a really big one. Ooh. It was the anniversary, 2-year anniversary of me going rogue, was actually just a couple of weeks ago during my final psilocybin practicum. So it was this very amazing, you know, full circle moment. I found myself, so during COVID, I like to make jokes about this because I'm a 7 on the Enneagram. I like to make things lighter. So bear with me if I start telling jokes about things that seem really heavy. So back in 2020, actually, I think it's important to mention, because when I was getting ready, I thought, did I tell you this? I don't know if I actually told you this, but I want to tell you in front of other people.
Okay, good.
2020, Catherine decided to go out of her comfort zone and to go on Facebook Live.
Oh, you're right. I do. I did.
And it was a lifeline to me. Did I tell you this?
Don't make me cry. Okay. Oh, I did not know that.
It was a lifeline to me because now I'm going to cry too. It was a lifeline to me because I was actually like sleeping in a separate room from my husband because we were like separated. We've gone to counseling and the therapist had recommended that we, you know, just do it like that to kind of transition, figure out what we're doing. And so it was just a really, really hard time in my life. Mm-hmm. And I was sleeping in a twin bed in the guest room. slash where I did my music stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, I think it was 7 a.m. that you would come on, or 7:30 or something.
Yeah, and, wear my PJs.
Oh, it was so beautiful. And I was like, oh my gosh, there is another human being in my neighborhood that I know that is on the same wavelength, like consciousness wise.
Yeah.
That I could actually talk to about real things and the things that I was going through. And it mm-hmm. just felt like, especially at that time, because it was so scary, like thinking like, yeah. Oh my God, I'm going to get a divorce and COVID's happening and seems like the world's ending. And so here's my joke about that. So I started the COVID divorce club in Cannon Creek, our neighborhood, the CDC, the other CDC, you know.
I did not know a divorce you club. Did.
Yeah, because then several other people got divorces and then I was somehow blamed. There was also a rumor that I was a lesbian, which I thought was really hilarious.
Yeah, I've gotten that one too. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. The other person was like, she was like crying. I was like, wait, you wouldn't be excited to be my partner? I was like, what? I was offended. Anyway, so it was a very difficult and confusing time in my life. And you were like a lifeline during that period. And if I didn't tell you, I just really wanted to tell you that like, I could not breathe. And you were like breath to me. So
thank you.
I'm so much proud of you. So you have been sharing your love for, I know, a very long time. And that was something that meant a lot to me. So.
Well, and thank you for saying that.
A lot of people knew what was going on in my life. So it wasn't like I was going to be like on Facebook Live, like, hey, I am like about to blow up my whole life and move out. So that happened. And then shortly after that, my daughter was in eighth grade and just started to really struggle and kind of show signs of like starting to hang out with people that like stopped doing basketball, stopped being involved in the positive things. She had done sparring with Master mm-hmm. Jason, and had gotten the silver medal before that. But she just kind of like stopped doing the things that were healthy for her. And yeah. I mean, just really quickly seemed to be going downhill, was complaining of a lot of anxiety and depression. So I started bringing her to counseling, the best people, because I'm in the field. And so I was bringing her to the best people that I know,
right.
and to the doctors, and they were giving her medicine, was not helping. And some of the medicines made her worse. And then in ninth grade, it was her, we got a call from the school and her coach had seen that she had been cutting herself. And I had no idea. It was huge, huge shock, because we've been talking about this her whole life. Because I'm a therapist, like, hey, Marina was cutting, you know, and no, I'd never do that. But apparently she had been doing it for 2 years, right? Like when we were still married, right under, like on her legs, and we had no idea. And so it was like, devastating. So she went to inpatient where they changed her meds, put her on several different meds, and then went into outpatient, or it's called partial hospital, where it's just all day during the day, and then mm-hmm. and started a DBT program, which is the thing that's recommended. I mean, we did all the things, you know, we had the psychological,
you did all the things,
and we like, you know, paid all the money and took her to all the therapists and all the different programs, and like nothing was working. And my daughter was having a lot of suicidal ideation, just no hope for the future. Was hanging out with people that were really dangerous for her. And I also was having a really difficult time with my ex, trying to get him on board with, you know, I literally am the person people would pay money to in this situation. Mm-hmm. And so I read all the books and I'm like, we need to be on the same page. We need to give her a consistent message. We need to have some kind of behavioral contract where we're on the same page. And if you fail a drug test, then we do X, Y, and Z. So she knows what the consequences are ahead of time. And we both need to follow through. And we just need to support her and let her, you know, feel empowered to make the decisions that are good for her so she can gain her freedom and, you know, all of that stuff, right? All the stuff that I've been trained to do. Well, I was completely like, my legs were shot out from under me during that period. And because of, you know, I'm sure just his hurt, he did not want to engage in cooperating and helping, and was really in denial and just very much like, she's fine at my house. Like, we watch zombie shows and, you know,
right.
Like, she's fine. And I'm like, wait, like, we had this psychological evaluation, every red flag that you could ever imagine in the book. This, I'm not saying she's not fine. This independent document is
right.
Verifying.
Yeah, take me out of the picture.
Out. Like, I'm taking her to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist is telling me this is an emergency. So it's not just in my head, like, our daughter's in trouble. So I just turned into someone that I did not recognize. I literally was like staring at Life 360 constantly, texting my ex-husband, like, hey, our daughter's sneaking out of your house right now. Can you go do something about it? You know, just like drug testing her, and then, you know, trying to do what all of the books say, you know, I'm like, okay, well, you lose your phone because you failed a drug test, and then like getting together and having her dad just literally hand the phone back to her in front of me. And just be like, I have no ability to do any of the things that I read about that work, and feeling like an insane person. And so I was going to therapy because that's what all good therapists do. They have their own therapist. This is my PSA announcement.
Yes.
Do your own work.
Yeah.
So every week I would go into my therapist just, you know, sobbing and going, help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to keep my daughter safe. And
it was just such a feeling of powerlessness. I mean, for saving your daughter and then dealing with somebody who's not on a unified front. And so, I mean, for a multitude of reasons, I'm sure that was really, really difficult.
Yeah, it just really turned me into what I feel like I felt really like an insane person at that point. Because I just, and I don't even know how I was functioning. I was like, I felt bad for my clients because I was just like, I'm supposed to go and it's COVID. Act like I have my shit together, like that, you know, to give them some comfort and help them with their anxiety. And I'm like, the world is burning down. And also, like, my daughter have. So I really, it's like such a blur to me. And so I got to the point where I was feeling really desperate, and I would make this joke with my therapist. And I did it a couple of times before she actually was like, let's talk about that. I'd say, well, I have two choices. I can either send her to rehab, which has never helped anyone who doesn't want to get better. I get sent thousands of dollars because I'm the one who has like the 100% right to make the medical decisions in the, like, I could do that. That is something within my control. Well, she would hate me. She already hated me at the time. Like, and I'm like trying to do the math. I'm like, but also it wouldn't help her. So I don't know that that's the best thing, but I could sleep because I would know she's safe for 30 days in a row. And then maybe I wouldn't feel like a crazy person. So that's one option. And then I was like, shortly after I found out that she had done LSD with her friends at her dad's house, I said, or I totally lean into the psychedelic thing because that would shock her. Like, I could be like, hey, let's try psychedelic therapy. You're already doing LSD with your friends at your dad's. Let me teach you how to do it in a, like, a way that is therapeutic, right?
Sure. Intentional.
Intentional.
Yeah.
And so I was joking. I mean, I was reading a lot about psychedelic therapy and about the research. I was really interested in it, but, you know, we live in Texas. It's not legal here. And so I was just kind of fantasizing. That's my seven, trying to go like, oh, or, you know, I could show her like, I am not the bad guy. I am not a cop. This isn't who I am. I'm actually kind of pretty cool. Pretty fun.
Yeah. And I'm on your team, honey.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, I really am.
I want you to live. That's all I want.
Yeah.
And so my therapist said to me, and I didn't know because she was not advertising this out on her website or anything. She said, okay, how about this? She said, I know that you're not going to do anything with your daughter that you would not be willing to do yourself because I know you. And I know that you're like big time researcher And so she said, I think that maybe ketamine-assisted psychotherapy, since that's what's legal here in Texas, would be helpful for you to calm your nervous system down so that you can make the best decision about what to do with your daughter. Because like you've said several times, like you, like you're losing it. Like I was losing it. Like really, like on a, like hanging by a thread. My daughter had said, can I have a break from coming to your house? Because you're the one who's causing me anxiety. And at the time I was just like, oh yeah, of course I am. Cause I'm asking you parenting questions. That's going to cause you anxiety. Like, who are you going out with? What are you doing? What, like, where are you going to be? Are you doing drugs? Like, and, but also because I was so anxious about her life. And she's an empath. Like, she was soaking in my anxiety. So legitimately I was causing her anxiety in addition to trying to be the best mom I could be. Knowing what I knew then, you know, from the books that all say how to be the best mom, because I read them all.
I'm sure you did.
And I just, I was really afraid. So I said, yes, sign me up. And my therapist and I did ketamine assisted therapy in her office for the first time. And my, I didn't really have like a journey because what I learned is I'm even more of a control freak than I thought I was. Like my protector parts and manager parts and were like, no. But so I didn't really allow myself to relax into it. But what I saw happen in my body that in the days following, which is where you have increased neuroplasticity and you're able to change the way you're thinking and change your routines and stuff. I just literally, it was like every night when I would go to sleep, I would pick up this, like this, I'd pick up this thing, like going, how do I approach my ex so that he'll get on the same page so that we can do the things that I know will help. And like, I would, in my mind would just be like, well, I haven't tried that, or I could try this, or I could say it in this way, or I could write it in a letter or put it in an email or, but yeah, like maybe if I showed it, like, I mean, I was just every night picking it up and my mind would just and it was literally like the next day, it was like, oh, that doesn't work.
Right.
I knew that here.
Yeah.
But like in my body, like every cell in my body was like wanting to have hope that I could make it work. And then after the ketamine, like every cell in my body was like, oh yeah, if that works, you'd still be married to that person. Like, stop the insanity.
Yeah.
Put it down. No, it's not on the menu. Like, don't stop trying to order that. It's not on the menu. Is right. What the download I got was. And I was like, oh,
I can breathe.
Like, it just literally was like, oh, like, that's not on me to try to convince really anyone of anything, but I need to go a different route because that's actually backfiring and not only is it not working, but it's doing the opposite. And my daughter is less safe because I'm turning into a crazy helicopter mom who's freaking out.
I mean, don't they say like the definition of insanity is like doing the same thing over and over but expecting a different result. And it's like, but when you're on that, when you're on that hamster wheel and your intention is to save your daughter, do you know, like, it's hard to get off. It's so hard.
It was really hard. And also because all of the other professionals were like, you know, that I'm involved with, like, one, it's, there is that like part of us as moms that feels like what's going on with our kids is a reflection of us.
Of our parenting.
Our parenting, like, so I'm feeling like a failure. I'm feeling like I am the person, a fraud. Like, I'm the person that people go to and I can't even like help my daughter. And I felt like that was like rock bottom.
Yeah.
For me.
It's hard. I know that my older brother died of just extreme alcoholism. And you know, as an objective sibling, I'm going to call myself that, an objective daughter.
Yeah.
You know, it was so not a reflection of my parents' parenting. They did everything. They did everything. And they really did. They did everything by the book. And they did a lot of crazy stuff that people are like, oh my God. I mean, we took him down to Mexico so he could get an Ibogaine, you know, have like an Ibogaine experience. And even that didn't help because, like you say, if the person's not willing, it's just not. Right. And so he was in rehab the greater part of his adult life. Anyway, that's my little interjection, but nothing to do with my parents' parenting. Right. Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm glad that experience at least helped you, because using your own words, like, you were feeling insane. Like, you were going insane.
I was, for sure. And then I was having to go be a therapist to people who were struggling. And I was like,
oh
this
my God.
Feels insane. Like, it feels insane to feel insane and then to have to be the sane one in the room and to play this role of like wise, you know,
right.
Trained, lots of letters after my name.
Yeah. Therapist
who is literally like questioning everything I ever learned and thought I knew and feeling like this is all BS. Like, I don't even believe my own BS anymore. Like, you're paying me money to come talk to me. And like, I don't even know if I believe it because it doesn't work. Like, just feeling really, really like, and also, what am I going to do? Like, wait tables the rest of my life? The only thing I ever did was be a therapist. So.
Right. Well, and so for the people who don't know what ketamine is, you know, can you explain it just in a nutshell?
Yeah, ketamine is under the umbrella of psychedelic-assisted therapy, though it's not a traditional psychedelic. It's actually a dissociative, and it's a very safe medicine that's been used. It is not a horse tranquilizer, which is what a lot of people remember it being called after it was, you know, regulated. The reason why it has that reputation is that apparently people, when they started using it in clubs and stuff like that, and then they made it illegal. The best way to be able to get it was they were breaking into veterinarian offices.
So that's
easiest and stealing it. So that's why they're like, a horse, you're using a horse tranquilizer? They actually used it on the battlefields in Vietnam because it's that safe to do surgery out on the battlefield. They use it every day in hospitals. It is one of the safest medications to help people basically to be in a state where your nervous system isn't like on board, and you're not. I mean, it takes your defenses down. And so that's why it is so helpful in therapy, because those, you know, the manager parts, the protector parts, the firefighters are often in the way of you being able to really be connected to your self energy, your essence. And so it helps all psychedelic medicines. Really, what they're showing in the medical field finally is through the fMRI that the part of the brain that gets kind of like muted is they call it the default mode network, which is your personality. So it's that part of your brain that's narrating everything, that's like, I don't like this. I like this. I'm hot. I'm cold. I don't, you know, that's your personality. And so it gives you an experience in your body where your personality isn't what has taken over and limits everything that you think, feel, and do.
Yeah.
So, and then it lights up all of these other parts of your brain, and your brain actually looks like it did before your personality really took hold. So
really took over.
You can learn languages and stuff like that. Like before you're 5, you can absorb it a lot quicker because all of the other parts of your brain are lit up that as adults are not as lit up, because everything goes through this default mode network and limits. It's a limiter. It limits what we take in, and it brings it through this filter of everything that we've experienced in our past. And our personality and the core fears and the way that we see the world. And so that's why it works in such it's like talk therapy works. Now that I do ketamine assisted therapy, this is how I look at it. Like, we can get in a horse and carriage, and we can get from Texas California, whatever, wherever you want.
Right.
It's going to be hot and it's going to be bumpy and bloody and people might die on the way there. It's going to like, it's going to take a while. Or we could take a rocket ship. And right. So this medicine enables us to just get there faster because the goal is to get out of your own way. And yes. Your personality under stress goes into autopilot. And all of the things, you know, you have gifts in your personality, but you also have this shadow side. Like it's, you go into the shadow of too much of your personality. And that's what happened is I went into, if you look at it from an Enneagram perspective, I went to my stress number, which is 1, the perfectionist.
Yes. So
I went from having fun and avoiding pain, which is the 7, to like the perfectionist that wants to do it the right way, but I can't do it the right way. And it was like this loop that was just like,
yeah, you're so, just on a loop.
Yeah. When we're stressed, that's what happens.
That's and what we do. Yeah.
That's what all of us do. And we all have the capacity to have our own crazy. But if we don't really know what that looks like, then it's hard to make a U-turn.
Well, I have not personally done a ketamine assisted journey, but when I've listened to other people describe it to me and like how it helped them, it sounds like every time I conclude, it's like, oh, they got off the loop. Like they broke the loop or they interrupted the loop. This episode is brought to you by my signature program, Emerge, a 9-month immersive journey into extremely intentional living. So what happens when Ayurveda, Feng Shui, and astrology come together in your life? It's actually an impressive list, but for simplicity's sake, I'll go with empowerment. Emerge is a unique blend of self-paced learning and live support. Once inside, you'll receive 9 instructional modules, monthly live masterclasses, and personalized one-on-one coaching with me. This program is specifically designed for you to experience thriving health by integrating Ayurveda into your everyday life. Navigate the ups and downs of planetary influence with more ease and unlock more harmony, abundance, and connection in your life by applying feng shui principles to the 9 key areas of your home. You can start Emerge anytime. And once you do, you'll step into a life rich with meaning. Link to register in the show notes. Okay, so you did that first.
So I did that first.
And then
I looked for everyone. I talked to my daughter's psychiatrist first, who I adored. And I explained to him what happened with me. And I said, can you prescribe ketamine-assisted therapy? Obviously, like she can't go to my therapist, but like I would have her find someone that does that. And he was like, at the time, he actually said, does provide this now, which is kind of great. But 2 years ago, he's like, I don't know much about it. I don't feel comfortable because I don't know much about it prescribing it. And also she's under 18 and there's not a lot of research for kids under 18.
Yeah.
So I looked, did some research, tried to find people locally, could not find anything. So I went to my therapist and just like, okay, I need to figure out what I can do to give this type of thing to my daughter. But there's no one who will do it. And she said, well, she said, I know someone who does underground ceremonies. And she said, I trust him implicitly. I brought mm-hmm. both of my sons in their early 20s to do a ceremony with mm-hmm. him. And like we did a mother son thing with him. So she said, I really know what he does. And I feel really, you know, confident that he could help, but I don't know if he will. Call him. See if he will. And he's in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So, and he doesn't have a cell phone.
Right.
He only has a landline. I mean, he's literally off the grid.
He's off the grid.
Right. There's no Yelp reviews.
Right.
And so she says, call him and see what he says. So I called him and he said, well, it's funny that you're asking this right now, but also that's life. That's how it happens, right? He said, right. I normally would have said no. If you would have called 6 months ago, I would have said no. Don't do this unless people are 18 and above. Too dangerous, like for me, underground. And he said, but I actually, he said, his son, this doctor, older guy who's been doing this for 40 years. He said, my son's best friend from childhood has a teenage daughter that had almost to a T, the way you describe what's going on with your daughter. I mean, everything sounds exactly the same. And he said, so he called me in desperation and he had just taken his daughter to one of those wilderness programs that cost thousands of dollars and it didn't work. Yep. So he called this doctor and said, would you be willing to like help us? And so he's like, of course. I mean, this kid's like, he's like an adopted son of mine. Like I've known him his whole life and I would do anything for you. And so he said, literally, they just left like a month ago. They came and spent like, I think a whole month with him. And he said, but before you make your decision, he said, why don't you call the dad? Because he could tell I was really nervous about it. And I've been doing all this research because that's what I do. And I like signed up for a 3-day training to learn about all the different psychedelics and all this before I even called him. Because I was just like, and it sounds like you're a little nervous. So why don't you call the dad, call and see if the daughter will talk to you? Because he said she went back to school and she ended up doing a presentation at her school for like the students explaining this transformation that she had. And, and this student who was like in juvie, like was really like not attending school, like truant. And all of a sudden she's going to school and like making a presentation and wanting to share with her fellow students what she experienced. And so he said, I'm pretty sure she'd be willing to talk to you. So why don't you do that first and then call me back? So I talked to the dad for like 2 hours on the phone.
Yeah.
And then he asked his daughter if she would talk to me. She's like, yes. She got on the phone and she told me all like she was so amazing. And she was like, do this. This could save your daughter's life. She was like on and on and on. They also do this thing called Hellinger Family Constellation work. And this, the doctor who does the ceremonies works with this other doctor. And they do this group work, this processing that is really, I think I heard you say on one of your episodes, like woo-woo, but we don't use woo, like, we don't love that word woo-woo.
Right. But
for some, it could seem really like this world, it's kind of like psychodrama, but also what, so you choose someone to play different roles in your life. Like I had someone play Lily and like Lily's witnessing it and I'm witnessing it. I had someone play me. I had someone play her dad. I had someone play my mom and my dad. And then you energetically place them in the field. They don't know anything about what's going on, which is pretty amazing.
Wow.
And then they just feel through the energy and then they start acting based on what they're feeling. And so this young girl's on the phone with me and she's telling me about it. She goes, well, you definitely have to do that. And she said, here's what happened. She's like, I picked this person to play my mom. And she said, she knew nothing about my mom. And then she's walking around, she's pacing. And then she's like, I need to get my keys out of my purse. And so she goes and gets her keys. And then the whole rest of the time, she's shaking her keys and shaking her keys constantly. And she's like, my mom shakes her keys constantly. And she was like, I'm just telling you, you have to do that. Cause that was really my, like, in addition to the psilocybin ceremony, she was like, that was really powerful. So I was like, wow. And she was just 100%. Absolutely nothing that my parents did worked, but this made me want to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited about my future.
Yeah.
And I was sold then. I mean, except of course, I'm a little bit nervous. So then I decided to call the researcher, like the head researcher.
Because that wasn't enough.
right. I wanted like someone, a professional, to tell me that I was not totally insane, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I reached out to this guy that had led the 3-day online training that I did.
Okay.
And he actually, his name's Dr. Casey Palios. And he actually responded and I couldn't believe it. I was like, I'll pay you for your time. Can I just have an hour with you? I just want to run something by you. And he was so kind to just give me his time. And he said, I will absolutely talk to you. And so I explained to him the whole thing. And I said, do you think I'm a crazy person and totally irresponsible? And like, are like, they, cause it's Texas, you know? Also, women don't have the best, you know, like what I found out in the legal system when I was being sued by my ex is that like our court system here, family court, like they are not pro women. And you have 20 minutes to explain your situation. And literally at the time I was being sued for full custody, my daughter was telling me, I will testify that I want to live with my dad. Like, yelling in my face, you know, I mean, and so I was like, I could go to jail. I could lose my license.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like this is all happening. And I'm like, I just wanted to talk to this researcher who knew what he was doing and to say like, is this the stupidest thing or could this save my daughter? Do you think I'm crazy? And he was so kind. And he said to me, and he didn't have to do this. I actually got to see him at the conference in Denver, the Psychedelic Science Conference. And I wrote him a card and told him the story because he had no idea. He said to me, like with tears in his eyes, he said, I got into this 10 years ago because I had a best friend in high school who committed suicide.
Yeah.
And he said, if his mom had been as brave as you, might still be here.
Right.
And he said, I absolutely do not think it's crazy. And he said, I can't guarantee what's going to happen. Like, obviously, right. I'm not saying that's going to save your daughter. I'm just saying that if your gut, and this is the thing about psychedelic medicine that I have since learned, but I didn't know then really, it's all about being able to connect to your inner healing wisdom. And he's like, if your inner healing wisdom as a mom is telling you that you need to do this, then you need to do this.
Right. Yeah. I just want to commend you on your bravery because you did, you know, on one hand, it's like you've got nothing left to lose because it's almost like you've lost everything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I already lost her. Like she was like,
You had. She wanted to live with her dad. She was not listening to you. Nothing was working and she's not getting any better. And so it's obviously not going the way that you want. Right. And that you have so much to lose just in the way that we're conditioned.
Right.
Right. You had everything to lose, but you did it.
Right.
You did it. You did it. And so and I'm so grateful because a lot of us would just continue to stay stuck in this paradigm. So going back to what you said at the very beginning, like you want to be this agent of change and shift the paradigm. We'd still be trying to swim upstream with this paradigm that we intuitively know isn't working, but everyone around us is telling us this is the way to do it. Until now. Until now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so thank you. It's not even really commiserate grateful to what you've done to say thank you. I mean, it's not really enough.
Grateful that my gamble did not, you know, result in, you know,
a different outcome.
A totally big disaster. I actually ended up calling my parents too and telling them what I was doing. And my stepdad, who had lost his house in 82 years old, had lost his house 5 years before that in the Woolsey fire in California. And he was actually stuck behind a burning gate. And like, it was very, very, very traumatic. But he, of course, you know, his generation doesn't go to therapy, right?
Right.
He said, I've never done mushrooms and I've always wanted to try. And so I actually brought my 82-year-old stepdad also, because my daughter adored him. And I thought, oh my gosh, this will make it so much easier. You can get help. She can get help. And I can actually maybe get her on an airplane if I'm like, so I actually, and the doctor told me to be very vague when I am this. He said, I want you to come for a minimum of 10 days. And I was like, whoa, how am I going to pull this off? Like talk her into it even. She's a teenager. who doesn't want to have anything to do with me to be trapped for 10 days with me. So luckily, my stepdad was like, I want to go. And so I had to just be like, yeah, I have this training thing where I'm learning about some stuff.
Right.
Like, I'm not a really good liar. So I was just like, and I'm going to create this holistic retreat, you know, to help grandpa, you know, help papa went through this trauma and also it might be a benefit to you. Like just trying to be like very, you know. And so I actually like had them do acupuncture. We went to hot springs. We did massage. We did energy worker, body worker, like somatic, all of the different things. In addition to the psilocybin ceremony and the Hellinger family constellation work. So it was this whole like, you know, so then we get up there and like he tells me just, you know, just be big or whatever. And so we like drive up there to his place and Lily's like, what is this? And she told me later that she thought I was bringing her to that one of those wilderness camps.
Like Outward Bound or something.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we pull up and then we meet, you know, this doctor and the other people that are there are wandering around and it's, she's like, this is like a hippie commune. Why are we at a hippie commune? And I was like, and then he just sits down and does not even miss a beat. And he was like, hey, Lily. So I was just wondering what your experience with psychedelics is. She just looks at me and her eyes are huge. And she was like, what is happening? And I was like, oh, don't worry about it. Like, I've already told him that you have done LSD with your friends. Like, it's no big deal. Like, this is not. And she was like, are you going to drug test me? And I was like, no.
Wow.
Not what this is about at all.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like on the defense.
And so, yeah, it was this. We did a private ceremony first. At first, she was saying, I don't want to stay for 10 days. At the end of the trip was the like community ceremony that he does where like they do sound healing with the gongs and they have a bunch of other people there and every hour they go and they pass the stick around and it's more of a like event, like community thing. And so at first she was like, I am not going to do drugs with a bunch of weird hippies. I have social anxiety. And so I went to Ted and part of my thing during the private ceremony was I wanted to do a rites of passage ritual where I was saying, I'm handing over this responsibility that was not mine that I took on because of my conditioning, you know, in our society as a mom. That I am in charge of keeping you alive. Like, that's really what it felt like. And that's what was driving all of my anxiety. And I said, I am handing that over to you because you know what you need and you are in charge of keeping you alive. And also, all of the options are on the table for you. If you choose to check out, that's your choice. I can't.
Right.
Yeah. So, but what I want more than anything is to see how your life unfolds and what you end up doing because you have this incredible life ahead of you and so much going for you. And so like just this incredible kid, you know? And I was just like, you're in charge now. And so I'm like saying to the doctor, I don't know what to do because I've done this rites of passage thing where I say, I want to do this. Like I wrote the whole letter about like, you're in charge, but then I'm not going to change the flight, you know? And you're going to have this other ceremony. And so he was like, don't change it until after the first ceremony. He's like, trust me.
He's like,
wait until the next day, see how she feels. And then if she still wants to go home and doesn't want to be there, then you can change it. He goes, but I can almost guarantee you she will stay for the last one. And I was like, okay. So he was completely right. We did the first ceremony. And it's It's funny. I was just like reflecting back on this about how that all went. So we had an energy worker who her name is Deanne, and she was like assigned to Lily. So I was able to be like on the other side of the fire completely, like not involved.
Right.
And then my stepdad was across the fire on the other side of me, and I'm over here, and we all took the medicine. And
are you outside or you're
we're
inside?
Outside.
You're outside. Okay.
Really, really incredible, beautiful setting in Santa Fe.
Yeah.
As the sun's going down, and it's just
right.
Just incredible. And I, 15 minutes in, projectile vomited.
Yeah. That can.
Like, yeah. My body was like, no. So, like, my protector manager parts were like, you have to be okay. Like, you have to be in charge. Like, you have these two people. Like, you can't. And it was like, my body would not let me really go into the medicine. Just like when I did ketamine for the first time.
Yeah. Did they give you more? Like, if you get sick, does it leave your system then?
Well, it was still, there was still some in my system.
Okay.
But I just ended up really, I mean, not as much. It hadn't completely absorbed, but I ended up really kind of like just in the bathroom, like away from the situation.
Right.
But yeah. It was actually what needed to happen. So.
Right.
And then
which is usually how those things go, right?
Like what happens. I hated that. Like,
right.
Not fun. But so the next day, I had already looked up flights because my daughter, when she has something in her head, is like usually very like not changing my mind. So I thought she was going to be like, let's fly home. And she woke up and was like, yeah. So on Saturday, when we blah, 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 like for the ceremony, and I was like, what? Hold on.
Yeah.
Like, what about the hippies and the social anxiety? Like, remember, you were like really adamant about that. And she just looked at me and she said, I know what to do if I freak out. And it was so rich. She said, if I freak out, I'm just going to walk away and try to calm myself down and breathe.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, then I can ask for help.
So this is just, this is just after one day. I mean, this
one
is huge.
Ceremony. Yeah, I mean, of course ceremony. She heard that in therapy a million times.
Right, right.
That was offered as here are things you can do to cope. But like it was in her cells. It's not up here. It's not talk therapy. It is she had this experience in her body. And
in her body.
Inner healing wisdom knew.
Yes.
I know what to do.
Thank you. Amen. Because, you know, I've been a yoga teacher for a long time and like a meditation teacher. And I talk about breathing, you know, and so intellectually, I very much understand like, wow, the breath is really powerful. You can use it to calm yourself and da da da. Well, it really wasn't until I did an ayahuasca journey, which is so me sitting with a different kind of medicine, but yet still a medicine that awakens you to your own inner wisdom, right? Like that's the main point. Yeah, I evidently had to go to Colorado in my case and have that whole experience to really embody the power of the breath, despite the fact that I had already been teaching it for 10 years.
Right.
Which is
exactly.
Like, it's embarrassing so to admit. Yeah.
Both
it's
of us, right? It's like, it's like it's humility, right? It's like,
it was. It really was.
Yeah, both of us are like, wait, I don't know anything.
Pretty much, like despite a lot of study, because I'm a kind of a researcher and
me
a learner
too.
Myself.
Yeah,
I love that, and this is what I really hope people hear, that your healing is so like you are your medicine. You're the solution.
You're the expert of you, and the only expert of you. It's you've been with you the longest. You've put in way more hours. And any of the therapists.
Yeah. Right. Well, okay. And so how's she doing now? So,
So first of all, I want to say that during then she stayed for the second ceremony. And the second ceremony actually was the doctor said, I'm thinking that and this was a very last minute thing. He said, I'm thinking that instead of psilocybin, we should try MDMA.
Okay.
He said, I think that this would be the best thing just after getting to know Lily and working on her. And, you know, he did a lot of like the body work stuff too. And, mm-hmm. and he said, I think that's the best move. And so my stepdad had gone home because it actually was my mom's birthday. And so it was her and I, and then all of the weird hippies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were not weird, it turns out. Turns out. Right. And my daughter, like when it was her turn, the very first go around when they pass the stick, you can say something or you can pass or you can sing or dance or do whatever to express yourself. And I was nervous as it was coming towards her, wanting to like go over and be like, you can pass if you want, because of her social anxiety. Like I was used to
protecting her and
protecting her, but also her dad had a lot of social anxiety too. And so it was like that same thing, like, oh no, like I need to somehow intervene to like, but I was like, nope, not doing it. I'm over here on the other side of the fire. I'm giving her space. And my daughter, I have a picture and it's like the most beautiful thing. She stood up with that stick, heart open, her whole being, like just open and confident. And she was glowing. And she said, I am so grateful. I want to thank. And then she went on to thank everyone except the, you know, except the one who paid thousands of dollars and risked her.
Which is fine.
That's
right. That's fine. Totally fine.
Someday, maybe. But she was like, I want to thank doctors. I'm trying to protect him and not say his name. And I want to thank this, you know, the guy who we ended up having a relationship with who brought the MDMA. And then the young girl who I had chosen to play her during my Hellinger family constellation work.
Yes.
She actually was sitting right next to her. And Lily was like allowing her to like put her arm around her and stuff. And like, she just was like, I feel so much love. And she said, and my body doesn't feel like it's in pain for the first time in 2 years.
Dang. Yeah. Well, and so you could exhale too.
It was just, yeah. Like, it was just like, oh my God, this is all I wanted for my daughter, is for her to like be in her body, be at home in her body, know that she can handle whatever comes and to not be in pain and to want to live and to shine her light, her beautiful, just incredible spirit.
Yeah.
And so that was 2 years ago. She came back. She had been failing half of her classes right before we left.
Yeah.
Barely pulled it off at the very last minute in finishing her sophomore year. And then she one by one on her own decided to stop hanging out with certain people that were dangerous. She completely opened up about all of the things that she was doing that I already knew and verified that all of my being freaked out was
justified.
Yeah. I was like, she's like, you know, that one night that you texted dad and da, 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 I was doing this with so-and-so and so-and-so. And I was like, it's a little bit worse than I even thought, but okay. Thank you for validating that I'm not crazy, because that's the feedback I was getting, you know? Her dad was just like, she's fine. I'm like, no, she's not. I'm so worried. So she ended up having a really healthy relationship with this really lovely, just sweet girl that just happened to live right down the street from me, which was a beautiful coincidence. So I got to spend more time with her. And she came to my 50th birthday party last year and sang with me a song that I wrote called My Firefly that I wrote when she was really young. And she was like, I was like, you know the words to my song? And she was like, you sang this to me every night, tucking me in. Of course I know the words. And her girlfriend had encouraged her to go up there and sing with me. And she went up and sang. And I was like, this is the biggest gift you could ever, ever, ever give me. You don't need to buy me any birthday presents ever again. And it was so beautiful. And then she just graduated with all A's.
Yeah. I mean, and she, such a remarkable turnaround.
Has all of these different things that she wants to do and wants to be an electrician. And
yeah.
And I mean, it's not like she doesn't have any anxiety at all, but she
right.
completely weaned off all of her psychotropic medications.
Yeah.
She recovered her creativity. She mm-hmm. was super creative. And then all those medicines had totally dulled out her ability to connect with that essential part of herself.
Right.
And started doing art again. And I just, yeah, I'm just so grateful.
It's such a beautiful story. I really appreciate you taking the time to tell it because, you know, I think when people hear this, they're really, first of all, it's going to maybe alleviate some of their anxieties about mm-hmm. trying something that they would call alternative or woo-woo or whatever,
right. and
unorthodox, unconventional, like whatever it is.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, really, really have a shot. Like really
yeah.
have a shot it, at like true change, like sustained
absolutely.
Change. Yeah.
yeah. And again, it's not a like a miracle cure or anything. I don't want to give anyone the impression that it's like you take this medicine and then all of a sudden everything's better. It really requires having like there was a lot of support around
right.
her. The energy worker, Deanne, afterwards worked with her online weekly after that. I went through a 6-month energy work training program with her to try to help change my energy because I really didn't want her picking up on my anxiety anymore.
Right.
I did not want to be contributing to that.
Yeah.
And the funny other full circle thing about that is when we first started talking, you talked about how you invited me to your retreat.
Yes.
And so because I was in that training program with Deanne, I accepted your generous offer because that week my homework was to receive.
Yes.
And it was the sticker was like on my computer, remember to receive. I was trying to learn from my dog how to receive because Stella will lay on her back and let anyone rub her belly. And I have a very hard time with that, like not being the one giving. As
yeah.
a therapist, it feels like that's where I feel comfortable.
Yes.
And it's vulnerable to receive. And
it is.
It's difficult. And so I don't know if you remember, but you texted me and then like my immediate text was, I already was like that part of me was like, well, I'll say yes, but only if you let me do this thing for you because I don't want to feel like I am just taking. And then I saw the sticky note on my computer and I was like, oh. And then I texted you back and I was like, actually, I would be happy to come no matter what my offer stands, but also like, yes, I will receive your generous offer because this is what I'm supposed to do. This is my homework. So.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your generous offer
You're
and
welcome.
Having me and teaching me all of your incredible, like really incredible tools for self-care that I have really benefited from. So
I'm so glad.
Yeah. And
I'm
I wouldn't have had that experience really if I hadn't gone through all of that other
yeah.
stuff and been in that place to actually receive because I remember I had like so much going on. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, you really did.
I mean, I was going to Montana. I was going here. I was going there. I had to like, and I was in the middle of trying to do this, you know, this branding thing that was my bane of my existence and nightmare. And
I know
at the time. And
I remember you talking about it. Yeah.
But I'm so grateful that that was my homework that week.
Yeah. Well, okay, I am too. And it was just like, it was all meant to happen that way, wasn't it? Like the universe kind of timed it for us to, to like finally come together. Because
yeah.
I had known, you know, years before, like, oh, I wish I knew Lynn better. Mm-hmm. But I think that like we had to wait for all of this to happen for it to really like align the way that it needed to. And but I do want to acknowledge that you can't just go take this medicine and accept everything. Expect it all to be fixed. Like there really is, there's prep work,
there's
post-integration,
right.
and it's not like the medicine really isn't the solution. I don't think it's the solution at all.
Connects you to your inner wisdom.
Connects you to you.
And helps you to see that you are not that personality, that the tyranny of your personality, that voice in your head that's like, bah, 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 and comparing other people and telling you that you have to be perfect. I mean, that was the voice in my head. I have to be the perfect mom. And I feel like a failure. And all of that stuff. And
people are going to judge me.
Our personality just lies to us all day.
It really does. And so I want to make sure people understand that when they work with you. So it's not strictly, you know, ketamine assisted. It's not like you bring a lot to the table about understanding your personality, like through the Enneagram or through just other modalities that you've explored that maybe weren't part of your original training, you know,
like a
classic conventional therapist. And so
it's more than cognitive behavioral therapy. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. It's so much more. Well, what is the best way for people to find you if they want to find you, which I can imagine they will want to.
Yes. So I have a couple of different websites right now. I've got my clinic in Plano, Texas is at www.intunewellnesscenter.com. So
intunewellnesscenter.com. Yes.
A lot of letters. So it's like, I use a lot of metaphors with my guitar and help people to realize that you're not broken. You're just out of tune. That I help people make those little adjustments. So intunewellnesscenter.com. And then also my name. So lynnmccracken.com. That one might be a little bit easier. www.lynnmccracken. LynnMccracken.com.
And I do always, put this in the show notes. I never know if people read them or not, but it is there. Yeah. I just want people to know that you are accessible and
really happy to, I'm really focusing on trying to train other therapists because I can't help everyone. And so I'm really big on collaborating and with other people with different modalities too, because I really believe in people having a whole support system.
Yeah, like a full holistic spectrum.
Healers. And so there's just so many things that you can do once you are able to get out of your own way to like really tap into and listen to that inner healing wisdom, like about how to take care of yourself and change those routines and patterns that kind of got you to the point that where your anxiety and depression gets so out of control.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you can do anything. So I'm just really trying to focus on creating more networked community of therapists and other healing modalities to draw from to really help surround my clients and come up with something more kind of like what I did with my daughter, like the 10-day holistic retreat, incorporating different types of modalities that include really, you know, stuff that has to do with body work and somatics and breath and nutrition and all of the things that actually make sense.
Yeah.
when something feels off, you know, like you really helped me with just the idea of having a schedule with sleeping. I mean, that seems so simple.
It seems so basic, but it was hard.
It helped me. It was profound for me. And you know, really helped me to go, oh, like you have to take care of your body and your body needs to be able to predict when it's going to sleep, when it's going to eat. That was huge for me, what you shared with me. So
I'm glad to hear that.
Work with lots of wise people who have their own way of working with clients instead of the typical, like, go to your psychiatrist, get some psychotropic medicine to try to numb out whatever symptoms you're feeling so that you can go to work and keep doing what you're doing. But that actually we know long-term, you know, short-term that can work. I mean, I'm not saying psychotropics don't work. I'm saying that in situations where like you are desperate, it can kind of get you out of a hole so that you can go get the tools that you need.
Right.
But long-term, we've seen that it doesn't actually solve the problem, because the thing that's getting you out of tune is has not been addressed. It's just numbing your symptoms. And so that's why my daughter didn't get better
from respond
those medicines. And then a lot of times it ends up numbing out the parts of you, like your creativity, that is life-giving. So
right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's such a happy story. And I really, if I had to thank you for any, there's a lot of things that I could say thank you for. I'll make a list. I'll give it to you one day. How about that, Lynn? But really, okay. I think it's the bravery, because that took a giant leap out of your comfort zone, and it saved your daughter. It saved your relationship with your daughter. It saved you from this feeling of insanity. And that took a lot of courage. And so thank you for listening to your heart and following that beacon of light. Now you can, you know, share this. You can just keep on sharing this. And so I really appreciate you being on my show and telling this story, this personal story that's so powerful. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And for helping me share this story, because it's scary, but powerful. And I just hope that it can help other people.
Absolutely. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Love to You All. If you're enjoying this show, please share it with someone who you know would benefit. That would mean the world to me. And another fantastic way to support the show is by leaving a positive review and a rating. It just takes a minute. It would make a huge difference. I hope this message reaches as many people as possible. I really appreciate your support. And so until next time, so much love to you all.